Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome home. This is Deanna, and we want to thank you for being a part of the Life Together podcast. Before we get into this week's teaching with Pastor Tom, we want you to know that you matter to God and you matter to us. Life Together is a Wednesday evening gathering for worship, Bible study, and community at Oak Creek Assembly of God here in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. We pray that this week's message is life-giving, encouraging, challenging, and possibly even life-changing.
The conversation that you and I were about to have, this is one that you can remember every time you look in the mirror as you're getting ready in the morning. See, what I know is true for all people, not just Christians, this is true for all people. When we wake up and we go and stand in front of the mirror, we have an outcome in mind. The person that is sitting at the table tonight looks different and smells different than the person that got in front of the mirror first thing this morning. Where most of us would stand, where our opinion would be is that we would not want others to be around us the way that we look and smell when we first get started in the morning. We want people to be around us after we have spent some time in front of the mirror. What we're going to see tonight is that just as you and I, we understand that when we go in front of a mirror, we have a desired outcome. However much time that is around your table, you talked about it tonight, however much time that is, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, you have a desired outcome in mind. There is a difference between when you start in front of the mirror and when you finish in front of the mirror. And we actually would say that it would be foolish if someone were to go and be in front of a mirror for 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and they were completely the same after ending their time in front of the mirror. Well, what you and I were going to see tonight in God's word is there's this parallel that's drawn. And just as it would be foolish to stand in front of the mirror and have no outcome after your time in front of the mirror, it would be equally as foolish, what we're going to see tonight, it would be equally as foolish to spend time reading God's word or listening to God's word preached and to not act upon what is in his word. It is foolish of us to read God's word and to not experience an actionable outcome as a result of reading God's word. So my desire for you and for me, my desire for us as a community tonight, and tonight we are the community, my desire for us is that we would be people that anticipate each and every time we are exposed to God's word, that we would have an action step. Every time we hear God's word preached in this house, or if you're visiting tonight, wherever your regular house of worship is, every time we open God's word in our own personal devotion time, every time we get together for a small group Bible study, each and every time we expose our mind and our heart to God's word, my prayer, my desire for us is that we would be people who anticipate that God is going to have an action step for us. If you're new tonight, I believe you are in tune with this idea. If you are in tune, if you are new, you are locked into this, because when you come into a church for the first time, or when you open God's word for the first time, or you seek out a Bible message in podcast form on radio or on TV, if you are pursuing that for the first time, you are expecting that there's going to be an action step. You're expecting that as a result of being here or reading God's word or listening to it, that there is going to be something in that to address a situation that has drawn you toward this place or to God's word in the first place. Are you with me? All right? If you are going through a difficult trial, you're going through a crisis, and you've tried all these different things, you have come through the doors of the church anticipating and expecting that there is going to be an action step, that there is going to be an answer here that you haven't found anywhere else. Or maybe you feel like on the outside, everything seems to be going well. The job is good. The kids are good. I have a good house. I have a good income. But there's something that's missing. So you come through the doors of a church. You are expecting an action step. You're expecting that something is going to happen as you listen to God's word preached or taught that day. Or maybe it's you are at a point in a relationship, you're at a point with someone in your family, you're at a point in your job where there is so much brokenness, there's so much hurt, and it seems like it is beyond hope, and you are hoping that as a result of coming to the doors of a church, that you are going to find some path towards restoration, reconciliation that you've not been able to find anywhere else. So new people are already coming here expecting some sort of action step as a result of being around God's word. All right, let me talk to those of us who've been around for a while. Because I believe that we actually run the risk, those of us who've been around for a while, we actually run the risk of this starting to deteriorate over time. That we don't always anticipate an action step. That we think we're here and man, this really would be good for someone else. And some of us have been really good at coming up with a list of action steps out of pastor's message that apply to somebody else. Man, I wish my husband were here to hear this. I wish my brother could have heard that message. And we start thinking of all the action steps and all these messages and these Bible readings that are for other people. And we can forget that, man, God's word has something to say to us each and every time we open his word. And if we're not careful, we run the risk of God's word becoming almost like a museum piece. We respect it, we honor it, we believe it has value, but we forget that God's word is alive and active for each of us every day, all the time, and God continuously has action steps for us. So these thoughts that we're talking about, I didn't come up with this idea. This actually comes out of the book in the Bible that we have that's labeled James. The author of this is James. There are actually two pretty well-known James who we have written about for us in the New Testament. One was James, who had a brother named John. They were fishermen. Jesus came and he called them out of the fishing boats. He called them to leave the fishing industry and become part of his core of disciples. There was that James and his brother John. That's not the James we're talking about tonight. The James that we're talking about tonight is the half-brother of Jesus. James, the half-brother of Jesus. Same mother, different father. Some of you will get that in a few minutes. So James, the half-brother of Jesus, and the reason that James is such a credible a person for us to listen to, it's been said that if you were the Messiah, if you were the Son of God, fully man, who would be among the most difficult people for you to convince? Your own family. In fact, your own brothers and sisters. And that was absolutely true for Jesus with his half-brothers. The Word of God tells us that when people came to Jesus' own earthly family to inquire about him, they said, he is out of his mind. Jesus' own earthly family was disconnected from who he was when he was doing this earthly ministry, yet after the resurrection, Jesus' half-brother James became fully convinced that Jesus is who he says he is. And James went from being one of these family members who said he's out of his mind to becoming a leader in the early church. James becomes a leader in the early church. And he authors this book that we now have in our Bible that's been preserved for about 2,000 years. And in this letter, James writes this. So many of you have already been turning there. We're in James chapter 1 tonight. And if you're following along in the one-year Bible plan, this has been part of our readings over the last couple days. If you're not, I invite you to jump in with us for the last month and a week or so of the year and finish out the one-year readings with us if you don't already have a one-year Bible plan, oneyearbibleonline.com. All right, James chapter 1, verse 21. Here's how James starts this line of thinking. He says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. First, James tells us that we need to get rid of something. What does James tell us we need to get rid of? Filth and evil. all the garbage in your life. And some of us have some garbage in our lives, and we know we need to get rid of it. We need to move it out of our lives. But James doesn't stop there. He says you need to turn away from the filth. You need to turn away from the evil. You need to turn away from the garbage. But it doesn't end there. James tells us you actually have to turn in the direction of something else. Turn away from that and turn in the direction of what? God's word. He says turn from that and turn toward God's word, which now we have in form like this. We have God's word in a Bible form like this that looks like a book. We also have the Bible available for us on our apps, on our phone. James says, you need to turn to this. And he doesn't stop there. He goes on. He says, he gives us the why. Not just the what, he gives us the why. He says, because what's contained in these pages possesses the power to save your soul. What you read on these pages has the power to save your soul from the punishment of eternal separation from your heavenly Father. And there's no other written word that holds that power. So there's actually a church word that encompasses this idea of turning from evil and turning toward God. That word is repent. Repent. Maybe you've heard that word in church and you kind of know what it means. Really simple, easy definition: to turn away from sin, to turn away from evil, and turn in the direction of your heavenly Father. For those of us who are followers of Christ, entering into relationship with the Father through Jesus is just the beginning. Every time we gather, there is planting. Did you catch that word in that verse? God has planted. The word God has planted in your hearts. This ties directly into what we've been talking about on Sunday morning with this season, these seasons of planting and seasons of harvesting. So every time we gather here, there's planting. We're gathering around God's word and something is being planted in you. Every time we're here on Sunday morning, every time we're here on Sunday night, God's word is being planted in you. Every time you open the word on your own, and we need to be opening the word on our own, every time we do that, God's word is being planted in our heart. Every time you listen to a radio broadcast on your way into work or listen to a podcast, God's word is being planted in your heart. Every time you're in a small group, God's word is being planted in your heart. So that's the planting part, but it doesn't stop with the planting. Catch what happens in verse 22. James says this: but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Let me plant the message of salvation in your heart. I'm going to grab this from Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This is the planting part, all right? The planting part. Paul writes this: if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what I have just done is I've just planted the information in you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But it doesn't end if I just plant it. There's an action step that's required of you. And what is the action step? There's a few. Believe in your heart. And Paul actually places a high value on saying it out loud. Saying out loud, Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. Telling is not enough. Action is required on the other end. And James actually says it would be foolish to listen to the message and then do nothing about it. If you are outside of relationship with your Heavenly Father tonight, your Heavenly Father's desire is that you would make this decision for yourself, that you would declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would repent, that you would turn away from your evil and your sin, and that you would receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He wants you to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the penalty that you're supposed to suffer, and that through that punishment that Jesus suffered on the cross, he defeated the grave, and he demonstrated that to us by showing himself real 3 days later. by showing himself alive. That's what we celebrate on Easter, and we're a church that celebrates Easter every day of the year. We celebrate the resurrection every day of the year. So he said that those of us who are followers of Christ, entering into relationship with the Father through Jesus is just the beginning. And so if we go back to this idea of planting and then the crop or the result of, you know, the harvest, the planting is God's word being spoken into our hearts or being read into our hearts. The crop then would be, what does our action look like as a result of that? So my question for you and I to wrestle with tonight, how does our crop match up with what's been planted? Has there been a crop that has resulted from the seeds that have been planted into our hearts of God's word? I want you to think about this time of year. I don't really know anything about farming or very little. You would probably wouldn't want me on the farm. I wouldn't be much help. What I do know is that there's these seasons, right? I know that this time of year, there really isn't a whole lot of farming going on, that once the snow starts to fall, that it's got to be pretty much done. That's why you see the combines out overnight, because they want to get it all done before the frost comes and the crops get ruined by the frost. So I want you to think about a feed store somewhere in rural Wisconsin, and two farmers come into the feed store, and one farmer says to another farmer, hey, how was your year? And farmer number two responds, man, it was a wonderful year. We have 300 acres, and we planted seeds in every one of those acres. In that moment, I don't care how many seeds you planted. I want to know what your crop looked like. Yes, you have to plant the seeds to get the crop, but at the end of the year, the measure is not how many seeds you put in the ground, but what happened with those seeds. In fact, if you only put the seeds in the ground and nothing happened, it would be what? A waste of time and money. All right, let me look in the mirror once as a person who is in full-time ministry. Sometimes we who are in church world, we can do our measurements based on only how much planting we do. But the measurement of what happens is not just how many people come, but it's the action that results from people hearing the word in this place. And let me just say, Jennifer and I, my wife and I, we are so thankful to be part of a church that takes action. This is a church that takes action. This is a church that has faithfully, over the years, not just a spasm here and there, this is a church that faithfully over the years has been an inviting church. You don't go from a church that has 80 people to a church that has thousands of people that come through our doors each and every month. You don't become a church like that if you're not a church of action. This is a church of action, and I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that takes action. Even tonight down in the food court, one of the dear people who goes to this church, she was telling me about a vision that God has placed in her heart for a ministry that she wants to begin to operate and circulate in her neighborhood and in her community, and she has a vision for it to go beyond that. That is a person of action. She is allowing God's word to speak into her heart. I hear about what you're doing in your workplaces. I hear about what you're doing in your schools. This is a church of action. When we look at the generosity of this church and what we're able to do around the world, that is a sign that is that this is a church of action. We're not just planting the seeds of missions. We're seeing the fruit because you're giving and because you're going and because you are praying. Here's where James gives us this mirror analogy. Remember, we started the conversation by saying that it would be foolish if you or I were to go in front, stand in front of our mirror and after how long it takes, 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, if we were to leave that time in front of the mirror and we were to look and smell the same way as when we started, we'd say it'd be foolish. All right, let's just check out what James has to say here. James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. A A little bit of context here. James writes this at a time in history when the only way you would know what you look like is by looking in the mirror. There are no pictures, no selfies. I believe this was even before the first flip phones came out. James draws this comparison. To listen to the word and not take action is as foolish as spending time in front of the mirror and walking away and forgetting what you look like. I want you to imagine if you've got maybe a child, 8, 9, 10 years old in your house, around the age that they start locking the door to, you know, get themselves ready, but not old enough where they could get into trouble, you know, locking the door in the bathroom. So you see your child or grandchild or great-grandchild, they go in the bathroom to get ready and they lock the door and they're a mess when they go in there and they spend 30 minutes in there and they come out looking exactly the same. You'd say, what were you doing in there? What foolishness were you doing in there? I was just looking in the mirror. It was a waste of time. Well, James would tell us that it is equally a waste of time to spend time in God's word, to plant this in our heart, and for us to not take action upon what God's word says. Parents, we teach our kids, stand in front of the mirror and take action based on what you observe. Stand in front of the mirror and take action based on what you observe. Your hair's a mess, fix your hair. You snuck in a couple Cheetos after you brushed your teeth last night, you got some Cheetos stuck in your teeth, you see that in the mirror, you gotta get the Cheetos out of your teeth. You wake up in the morning with boogers full in your nose, you gotta get the boogers out of your nose. Kids, look in the mirror and take action based on what you see in the mirror. Look in God's word. As followers of Christ, our Heavenly Father, his desire is that we would take action based upon what God's word reveals to us. All right, here's the exclamation point to this whole conversation tonight. Are you ready for it? One more verse. This is where I believe it gets real. Verse 25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So James has just finished talking about the mirror. When we look in the mirror, it's all about changing our what? Our external. So James talks about how the mirror is for the external. Now in verse 25, but if you look carefully into the perfect law, so the mirror is for your external, now the law is for your internal. If you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, God will bless you. The mirror is for the outside. God's word is for the inside. And we all know that we can do a great job of putting on a great exterior to cover up a messed up interior. James writes, when you allow God's word to be planted in your heart and in your mind and that grows into action, you will experience freedom. Freedom. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You have applied God's word, you even when it's painful, even when it doesn't make sense. And you would tell others tonight at your table, you would tell other people at your workplace, you would tell other people at your school, I experienced a freedom as a result of not just reading God's word, as a result of listening to God's word preached, but as a result of doing what it says. And James says this, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. And as we've talked about before, the word blessed is a fancy way of saying connection to God. When you not only read or listen, when you actually do what God's word said, you will be blessed. You will experience greater connection to God. You will become more like Jesus. So our summary for tonight would be this. Anticipate that God is going to have an action step for you every time you hear or read his word. Anticipate that God is going to have an action step for you every time you hear or read his word. As we wrap up this conversation tonight, You might be thinking, all right, so what's the action step for tonight? So we've just talked about having an action step. What's the action step for tonight? See, as I was worshiping tonight, this was deposited in my heart. I believe that there are many of us in this room that we have received an action step in the last few days, the last few weeks, months, or possibly even years, and we have not taken the action. God's word has clearly spoken to our heart about something that we need to do, and for whatever reason, fear, selfishness, pride, procrastination, I'm certainly guilty of that, worry, whatever it is, we know what God wants us to do, but we've stopped, we've held back from following through. Maybe you were here on a Sunday night and you shed holy tears at the altar and you clearly sense God telling you, beyond a reasonable doubt, this is what you need to do. And at that moment, you made the commitment that you were going to step out and do it. But sometime between when you left the altar and when you got home that night, you convinced yourself all these reasons why you weren't going to do it. Or you're going to do it someday, but not then. So my question for us to wrestle with tonight is, what action steps have you and I been sitting on? What action steps have we been sitting on? It may be a prompt about how you and I, how we interact with people, that your Heavenly Father wants you to say more of this and less of that, or maybe none of that anymore. Perhaps you have sensed God's word prompting you to alter the way that you spend your days. He wants you to flip upside down what gets most of your time and what gets little of your time. He wants you to flip the script and instead start to give more of your time and energy to what you have pushed to the sideline. It could be that God has guided you to a conversation that needs to happen about forgiveness or restoration, and you've put it off because even though you know that there will be sunlight on the other end, there would be pain in that conversation, and you just don't want to have that just yet. You've been putting it off. We have been putting it off. Or it could be that God has been exposing in your heart something that you are doing that is clearly at odds with him and his ways. You know that it's not in line with your relationship with your Heavenly Father. There's a word for it. We've talked about words tonight, like repentance, like being blessed. Well, the word for this is sin. It could be tonight that you know that God has exposed a sin in your life, and for whatever reason, you have held on to it. And you've not followed through with what James says when he says you need to get rid of the filth and the evil. So my encouragement for you and for me, if that's something that's going on in our lives tonight, is to no longer sit on it, but take the action step that our Heavenly Father is asking us to take. It may be a step of generosity, where there's something that you've been holding on to that your Heavenly Father, you know that your Heavenly Father wants you to give it away. But for whatever reason, it's been sitting there collecting dust in your garage or in your basement, and you know who it needs to go to. How about tonight? Go and get it and give it to them. You know, the word, God's word has a lot to say about taking care of people who have less than, taking care of widows. And we might read into that in today's day and age as single moms, single parents, single dads. It could be that you are in a position and someone has been guided across your path and you have more time, more energy, more skills, more money than someone else, and you are in a position to directly help them, and it doesn't need to go through a church program or anything like that, but you know that God has guided them in front of all the doorsteps that he could have brought them. He's placed them near you. And God is asking you to take action because you have a platform into their life that no one else has. So I think if we're honest, if I'm honest, we all have action steps that we've been sitting on. We'll do it next summer. Next time the weather's nice, we'll get out and do that. Next time we see that person in the driveway, we'll go up and talk to them. Okay, maybe next time we see him. Maybe next time. Well, how about it really is the next time, this time? As we started this all tonight, we said that this is something that you can remember every time you look in the mirror. Every time we look in the mirror, when we wake up, when we get our day started, we look in the mirror and we are going to make some changes based on what we see in the mirror. And so now, each and every time we get up in the morning and we look in the mirror and we're changing the exterior, we can use that as a checkpoint. We can use that as like a personal spiritual checkup. Just as I'm changing my physical appearance, as I'm looking in the mirror right now, is there something that God has prompted me to do through a message that I've heard preached, through my own personal devotions, or through my small group Bible study? Is there something that God's word has prompted me to do that I've been sitting on, that I need to take action on? And today is the day that I'm going to take action. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you so much and we say thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, on a mission to seek and to save the lost. We, those of us who are followers tonight, we were once the lost ones. And we say thank you, Lord, for saving us. And we know that there are many others, Father, who need the saving message of Jesus Christ. For the one who's here tonight, who's heard the message of salvation, Father, I pray that they would make that decision to declare Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, for the one who's been putting it off, I pray that there would be no more putting it off as of tonight, that tonight is the night that they would make the commitment that they know you've been calling them to make. Father, for the rest of us, who we can point to a time in our past that can be measured in days, months, years, or maybe even decades, to when we made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so tonight, Father, we ask for your forgiveness for all the times that we have not followed through on what your word has prompted us to do. Father, we want to be people of action, not just some of the time, but all the time. Father, you know the fears that are represented in this room. You know the pride. You know the worry. You know the procrastination, all these things that are represented in our church body here tonight. Father, you designed us to be overcomers. So Father, I pray that we would be overcomers of anything that is holding back from being people who take action when we allow your word to be planted in our heart, because we don't just want to be people that are receiving the seed. We want to be people that are producing your precious crop. Father, I pray a blessing over each one, your favor upon their lives, your protection upon their homes and their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for the Life Together podcast this week. It's even better when we get to see you in person. Life is best lived in community. You're invited to join us on Wednesday evening here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. We are a church that exists to reach our world for Christ as we lead people just like you to discover and become who God created you to be. Find us online at oakcreekag.org/life.